Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ, shiur number 104. That's Bais Pnimi joint for both men and women, shiur number 104. We mentioned in last shiur about how good communication is mostly good listening. And we mentioned towards the end of that shiur is that what happens, though, often, if we don't work on ourselves, is that when we hear, when we try to listen to our husband or wife talking to us about what's in their heart and things that are bothering them, we tend to get defensive. That ego gets in the way. We feel the need to defend ourselves and then ultimately react back in a defensive way, attacking back with either attacks or self-justifications that makes your spouse, the one that talked to you, that opened up to you about this, not feel safe anymore. And that's why it's so important, and we talked about it in Shiurim on Fridays, pertaining to self-esteem and healthy self-confidence, because that's a part of inner work we need to do, to listen with sensitivity and to listen without defensiveness. And that takes self-esteem, it takes building yourself up and recognize you're okay. You could take this, not only you could take this, you could be strong and confident and warm and accepting, even if you are being told about things that you're not happy about yourself, and you know it's true, but it hurts. But you won't feel that your wife or husband is hurting you because you have enough self-confidence to realize they love me. They're telling me a truth that I need to work on. So to learn to listen to your husband or wife actively and courageously and confidently and with an open heart takes a certain degree of courage and strength, but that's something that we need to develop. What is your spouse trying to tell you now? Sometimes you have to go behind the words, beyond the words. They may say something harsh to you, but behind it, there's a feeling of hurt. Sometimes they may seem, like as if I don't care. They put on a hard, cold front. In the meantime, they care very deeply. The words that you hear, it's not necessarily what they are trying to say. And the content of the words is not the main thing often. You have to go behind the words. What's behind the surface of what you're hearing? And respond to the rightness and wrongness of not the claim of what the specific argument they're saying, because that'll make things worse. But you need to tune into the emotion that's underlying the words, and relate to that. If you sense that your husband or wife is upset because they feel hurt about something and they're afraid of something, don't just listen to the words, because the words may seem harsher or over-emotional and you'll get annoyed or whatever. No, you learn how to understand the feeling behind the words, realize what's really going on, and relate to that. So, for example, he says that rapid-fire string of complaints about a lot of inconsequential things that you may have done, which normally go unnoticed and normally would have no comment, right? So in other words, there's certain things that you do that your husband or wife normally would be quiet about, and now they're complaining about little details of what you're doing. Why did you do this? You shouldn't do that. Why did you do this? You shouldn't do that. So what you look at is not like, all of a sudden they're complaining about these things, you know, what's with them? No, there's something going on. There's something here right now that your husband or wife is unhappy about. And they're venting some type of frustration or some type of anger or some type of hurt. And very often it's a cry for help. I'm hurt. And it doesn't come out the right way. So yes, we need to learn how to communicate more directly and say what we mean and mean what we say. And say, you know, this upset me. I just want to be honest. I love you, but this is what happened, and I'm a little feeling insecure. You know, we could learn about that. But Kol Zman, that's not yet done. Don't get muddled into misleading complaints that are thrown at you, but look behind it. And when you look behind it, you'll see that a string of complaints, they may disappear. And you'll realize that the subject matter was not about that at all. Right? So, however, to understand this is one thing he does bring out, is be careful that you don't just make this principle overall and dismiss the words. Sometimes the words that are being said are a symptom of a problem that's real, right? Now, you do a certain habit, and it really is bothering your husband or wife, but now, you know, normally they keep quiet, and now they're opening up and saying it bothers them. We don't discount it, but then sometimes it could be that that's all it is, those little things, but you also have to be aware that there's usually a story or an emotion behind it. So here is an example that he gives. Shmuel was having trouble at work and was concerned that he might lose his job. So he returned home disgruntled and irascible. And instead of confiding in his wife and telling her his concerns, he started to complain that the house was a mess and the supper wasn't ready and the kids are a mess. What's wrong with you? And now he's wrong. Okay. We're not defending that behavior. But understand what's going on here. This is a deflection. This that the Shmuel is complaining about, why is the house such a mess, and I'm very hungry, and the supper, and why aren't this organized, and you take care of this, why not? That's a deflection. That's not the core of his distress. The house messy is not what's really bothering him at all. That's a secondary thing, and it's not even a secondary thing. It's superficial grief, the messy house, or whatever else that he nitpicked on his wife. Again, not good behavior. He needs to know how to rein it in. The healthy thing would be is, I love you very much, but I'm very overwhelmed now, and I'm not in the greatest mood because I'm having some challenges at work that I'll talk about later. So the wife will understand this. And, you know, he may not be in the best mood, but at least she'll know. And it won't escalate into something painful. But because he didn't learn how to do this, and not blaming him for his stress, but not blaming a wife for being upset, it's a deflection. That's not the core of what's really bothering. In a good state, he doesn't care so much. When he's in a good mood, he comes into the house, so it's messy, he usually lets it fly. He doesn't really care that much. It bothers him a little bit, okay, so he works through it. But that's not what's really going on here. What's going on here is the pressure at work. What's going on here is that he may lose his job. But he didn't tell his wife about this yet. So she's hearing a whole barrage of complaints. In reality, that's not what it's all about. The wife doesn't realize this. But again, this is the key. The wife should sometimes discern, after a while of understanding, there's something else going on here. Right? So in other words, what we're saying here, and it's a skill. The wife's not happy about it. All of a sudden, he comes in and starts complaining about this and that and the other thing right away. Not in the greatest of moods. Of course. So here's a scenario. The wife, it's very natural to get defensive, get upset, and lash right back out, or sulk, or silent treatment, or whatever it is. And she legitimately has a right to be hurt. He's not being sensitive. He's being mean, even. But then there is when a wife has a certain self-confidence. I keep a good house. I'm a good wife. He's complaining, there's something going on here. You know, with that calmness and sense of self and sense of working on your own inner value, a wife will realize, he's not even talking about me. There's something else going on. And her level of being upset gets lowered. And her level of defensiveness gets lowered. And then she could react back to him, not yelling at him, but... So anyway, the wife would basically see beyond it and say, I'm not happy that he's talking this way to me. And when he's calmer, I'm going to talk about how he really needs to, it hurts, it's hurtful. He shouldn't talk like this and he needs to learn how to be more respectful. But there's something going on here. And then she could sort of diffuse the situation by maybe being silent in the moment until he calms down. And then later say, what's really going on? What's wrong? And usually if you have that conversation afterwards and she senses that and then he calms down, it's very likely that after a little while talking, he will hop on himself and say, you know, I'm very sorry. I know I came in. I was really not nice. And I apologize for it, but this is what was really bothering me. And that's what life is all about, that working through things like that. Here's another case with the same couple. Sarah was feeling overwhelmed by the children and work and all of her responsibilities at home. She felt that Shmuel did not help her as much as he could, and more importantly, that he wasn't very sympathetic to her. Instead of talking about what was really bothering her and asking for more help around the house and with the children, she started complaining about her husband's overindulgent attitude towards his parents and his constant invitations to them for Shabbos and holidays and all the things her in-laws do that say that annoy her and other things about her, all of a sudden his personality or the way he talks that starts to bother her. So again, this is again a deflection. You know, the first scenario is when the husband was using his bad behavior to deflect what the real pain that he was experiencing. Here is the other way around. She was overwhelmed and needed more help. And she needs more help from her husband. Healthy thing would be to communicate that in a calm way. She didn't. Instead, lashes out about other things. He doesn't understand this. He gets defensive, most likely very angry. You know, what are you mixing in my parents? We talked about my parents. We're dealing with it. We're working through it. What are you attacking me with my parents or attacking me with this or that or the other thing? But again, if he has a certain self-confidence, self-esteem, and if he learns these skills, he'll realize that there are behind her words a sense of hurt. Behind the words, there's more. That's called good listening. Seeing through the words and recognizing there's something else going on here. She's not being herself. And even though it hurts when she says you're weak like your father is about with this and that or the other thing, or you know, you're lazy, you know, you're very lazy and you're whatever, it hurts. But if he has this self-confidence and he works through himself, he realizes she's not being nice right now. It's hurtful, but I'm not gonna get overly upset here. I'm going to try to figure out what's going on here. She's not herself. There's something else going on here. That pause, coming from a self-esteem also, because then your ego learns not to be hurt by those hurtful comments, that it doesn't hit you so deeply that you have to have the ego kick in and be defensive back, but you have the presence of mind to realize, let's figure out what's really going on here. Let's try to understand what this is. You know, actually in therapy, good marriage therapists do this a lot, where they see behind the words when the husband and wife have trouble seeing it themselves, and they bring that out, you know, bring out the what's really going on behind it, behind the words. It's something to always remember, by the way, that harsh words very often are said out of pain, out of frustration. They don't really mean it. And even when it's accurate, they never meant to say it with such venom and hatred or resentment. There's something else going on. In this scenario we gave over here, his trouble at work and concern about losing his job. Or maybe he was just yelled at his employer. And with her being overwhelmed, with the children giving her some difficult time, her work being overwhelming, things not working out that way, she fell and she didn't tell him. On her way to work, she fell down and scraped her knee. And ruined her dress or whatever it is, didn't tell him, didn't have a chance to, right? So there are other things going on there. And that's the idea of being done the Kav Zchus as well, which the more we learn to do, the more we'll be able to maintain and sustain happy and loving marriages. Bracha v'atzlacha.